More people texting in saying that they would pay $10,000 to get me to leave Pittsburgh. And I think this is all rooted in me and you painting a good statistical and analytical picture of why the Steelers should win this game, and then me still saying I think the Steelers are going to lose.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what this is.
Yeah, everybody's upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Texter, I'll double that $10K if you leave. Another one, I'll chip in on it if Adam leaves Pittsburgh. Look, at folks, if we get the GoFundMe high enough, I mean, I'll leave.
Yeah, you'd have to think about it, right?
I mean, if we're getting you know, $500,000,
yeah, I'm out.
Then yeah, I'll even donate none of it to charity.
No.
I started thinking it through. I was like, well, I don't want to spend it. Yeah. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where you always say, they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can insult me on both of those platforms. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. We will get to Chris Carter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette coming up in a few moments. We are supposed to get rain from Hurricane Helene. And it got me to thinking about hurricane names. And Helene, not necessarily a menacing name, although the hurricane itself is quite menacing. And then it started to get me to think, what is the least possible threatening hurricane name?
Huh.
And I think it's Hurricane Kevin.
Kevin, yes.
Thank you.
Or Adam.
Bleep off.
Hmm.
Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette joining us now on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, your trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Hello, Chris. How you doing?
What's up, guys? Hurricane Adam, slightly terrifying. Not the least terrifying, but slightly terrifying.
Hurricane Kevin just sounds, it's so milk toast. The name Kevin.
Wait, why is Adam terrifying?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just, I think of Adam, and I've seen Adam be slightly angry after West Virginia loses to Pitt, and that's a little terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the winds be blowing hard for Hurricane Ian, but Eileen, but nothing blowing harder than that lead for West Virginia. That was tough for me to say, and I said it poorly. Also, Carter, what's up with your eyes, man? Did Carter just wake up?
Absolutely, he did.
Man, your eyes are not open.
It's my studio lights, man. Like, they're right in my face. I haven't been I didn't just wake up. I've been up for like an hour, but I've had all the lights off in my house. Now I turn on my studio lights and my desk here. Apologies.
I'm going blind. I'm just not gonna. Okay, so Chris Carter joining us. Enough with the nonsense. When I look at this matchup, Steelers and Colts, there's zero reason to think the Steelers are going to go in there and lose this game, Chris. Although I think the Steelers are going to go in and lose the game. I feel like they're kind of due, if that makes sense. Plus, football is weird. When you look at this matchup, what do you see?
Like you, I see advantages for the Steelers. You look at how the Steelers want to play football and the Colts. It's like they kind of want to play like the Steelers, but they haven't been able to. Like, Jonathan Taylor can run the football, absolutely, but their defense can't stop the run. They're 31st in run defense. The Colts are dead last in time of possession right now in football. The Steelers are number two in time of possession in football. I look at that. I also look at Anthony Richardson has thrown the most interceptions in the NFL through 3 weeks going into this game. I think that this kind of lines up for the Steelers to play the game exactly the way they want to play. If you just take away Jonathan Taylor in the run game, you'll force Anthony Richardson to have to be a little aggressive, show things. And if you saw some of the interceptions he's thrown, especially the one he threw in the end zone last week, you're like, okay, that's a chance for the Steelers to get turnovers. Then on the flip side, you go to the Steelers offense. If the Steelers offense, you saw how they ran the ball at the end of the game against the Chargers, who last week were the number one defense. They're still like the sixth best rushing defense in the NFL so far this year. If they're able to do that for most of the game against the Colts this week, it will allow them to set the pace that they want. It'll put Anthony Richardson behind the eight ball a lot sooner. And then you can get to the script that the Steelers really like to play. Now, as you say, Adam, there are always outliers. They're always, it's the NFL.
It's a funny shaped ball, Chris.
Yes. And it bounces in so many different ways. I think the Steelers have been fortunate that they hasn't bounced too many times against them so far this year. And the couple times it has, like last week, Justin Fields' interception, that could have been the game changer. Like I said going into the game, whoever gets the first turnover is going to win the game. I was wrong. because the Steelers didn't get a turnover and they found a way to win that game. But eventually, there's going to be more than just bounces like that. There's going to be a few things. How do the Steelers keep responding to that? That'll determine how good this team really is.
Do you think that the Steelers will stick to their plan on defense and do what's been working for them throughout the last 3 weeks? Or will they incorporate something that could affect the way that Anthony Richardson runs? Because they haven't faced a quarterback like this yet. They know that they have to face Lamar Jackson twice. Now, Anthony Richardson, he has a little bit of an old Justin Fields, Chicago Bears type process to him. Do you think the Steelers roll out something different to slow that down just in case he does pull down and use his legs? Or do you think they just go as planned, like, hey, we trust our defense, we're one of the best defense in the league, and we have faith in them to just stop whatever is in front of us?
I think it's not like the difference is something completely holistic. Like, it's not like they're going to change up their entire philosophy. I think they have certain checks at the line of scrimmage, like with the pass rushers, to say, hey, on these plays, cover these rushing lanes, on these plays, contain here and contain there. But it's not like that's like, okay, we can't call the same blitz package that we normally call on third downs. And frankly, the Steelers don't even blitz much this year. And, you know, last week was actually kind of the most they've ever blitzed, you know, all season. But I think that this is a game where you might see them just rush four a lot. You might see them do some twists. If it is, they might twist a little bit less in this game so that they could have guys kind of stay in their lanes and be aware of where Richardson is. You know, maybe they have a guy who is like a hug blitzer from, you know, the line. Like maybe Peyton Wilson is kind of a blitzer if a running back is in, but maybe if the running back, you know, is kind of staying there, maybe he plays like a spy role. Small things like that, but not like, you know, changing up the overall aggressive style of play that they want to play.
Segment brought to us by Gutter Helmet. Save 50% on installation of Gutter Helmet during their fall sale this month only. 888-5-HELMET. Not expecting Jaylen Warren to play in this football game. Najee Harris had the sling early, but he did practice yesterday. Any concern with Najee, and how much Cordarrelle Patterson should we expect to see in this game?
I think Najee will be fine. I think Najee Harris, we talked to him yesterday, he's actually seemed more chipper than usual, you know, as far as how he's handling things. And Cordarrelle Patterson, I think that guy's a pro's pro. He knows how to be ready whenever they need him. And you saw the way how he started to get going last week. I think those two, if Jaylen Warren's available, it's like all three of those guys could be a real problem. If just those two guys are available, it's still a problem because they can both wear you down. And you saw the versatility that Cordarrelle Patterson gave you last week with being able to line up at wide receiver, which is why I said when they signed him, like this guy's like, that's your sixth wide receiver. If you have five wide receivers active on game day, that's your extra tight end if you really wanted to go there with him. And that's definitely, you know, your aggressive runner when you want to give Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris a break. I think that they want that. I thought it was really interesting. And if you check out Locked On Steelers this morning,
plug.
I played a clip. Yes, sir, as we do. But I played a clip where I asked Najee Harris, because he said, you know, at one point he was answering a question. I think it was from Will Graves, and he was like, hey, like, you know, we want to make guys tap out. We want to make teams tap out. That's what this. You know, yes, we play close games, but this, we also want to be the team that outlasts our opponents. And when he said that phrase, I was like, wait a second. When I talked to Zach Frazier after the game, he said the same exact phrase. He was like, we made the Chargers tap out. That's what we want to do. And so I asked Najee, I was like, Najee, is that like something that you guys talk about? Like, is that something that you guys, like, is it a locker room thing or like a saying that you guys think? He's like, what do you mean? He's like, I was like, well, Zach said the same thing. Make him tap out. He's like, he did? He was like, shout out Zach Frazier. And then he was like, you know, that's not something we talk about, but I like that he's thinking the exact same thing I'm thinking. And it seems like these guys are really on the same wavelength about how they want to be physical, and that's a good sign that I think that they're eventually going to coalesce and become a better rushing offense.
We saw what Calvin Austin III could do last week, and that huge play. And he can be explosive at times. He's, you know, he's a fast receiver. He just yet hasn't, you know, been in sync with what he needs to do consistently on offense. Do you think this is the week where he has that target share, you know, outside of George Pickens being the next targeted wide receiver, and them trying to utilize him a little bit more this week?
I don't know if this is the week for that. I feel like this is a week where you might see maybe Pat Freiermuth get some more targets. I think he hasn't been unlocked in this offense yet. I think it's very situational what the Steelers are going to try to do with Calvin Austin. Like last week, you know, I asked Calvin Austin because I noticed the touchdown pass that he caught. He also caught a 25-yard pass on a 3rd and 15, where both times he attacked the seam. And part of that, I asked him, and him and Justin Fields both confirmed that was part of the plan this week. They knew, especially on third downs, when the Chargers got the defense got out there, they like to throw exotic blitzes. When they throw exotic blitzes, they only leave like two guys covering the middle part of the field in zone coverage. And when they're doing that, Justin Fields just has to wait for one of his guys to break open towards the middle and not be covered. And that's what happened on both the situations. Calvin Austin caught it and moved forward. Now, if the Colts come out there with a similar situation, maybe you see some of that. But I think it's going to be situation. I don't think it's going to be like a I don't think the Steelers have unlocked Calvin Austin and now he's about to have like 80 yards every single week and be a wide receiver too. But I do think it would behoove them to put him in more yak situations where he can make plays like that.
Behoove. Hurricane Carter, appreciate your time as always, man. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Chris.
Great man, great breakdown. And it's so refreshing to hear what Chris said about the guys he talked to. Zach Frazier and Najee Harris. And I want to react to that when we come back. But something else he said there. Knowing that they felt like they had a great idea of what the Chargers are going to do on third down, and yep, they had a specific plan to attack it.
Yep.
The last 2 years are just such a waste, man.
It's waste. Waste
just
of time.
Such a waste. You think Matt Canada's going, all right, on third downs, we know what they're doing. Let's attack it with a purpose. Blah, blah. No.
It's amazing, actually, what they did during that period. You know, for as minimal as it was, even for that much, it's amazing what they did.
Because it's amazing that they won.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, and that's kind of the crux of what I want to get into next, and what Najee Harris and what Zach Frazier said. We'll do that when we come back. We got James Boyd, Colts beat writer from The Athletic, in our Behind Enemy Lines segment at 8:35. Lee Sterling at 9. Odds and ends. Doran is all rolling downhill, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Into the weekend. But right now, it's a Sean Myers headline. PJ was in to give us his daily Grape Nuts update.
Yes.
And I think I'm going to do it this week. And I think I'm hopping on the Grape Nut train.
But I know one thing that you said that you are going to do this weekend that now I'm 1,000% going to do. And I think PJ's going to do it as well.
Sausage.
Yes.
Hot sausage.
Yes.
Do a little browning of the sausage.
Mm-hmm.
Pop it in a crock pot with some souse.
Mm-hmm.
And some onions, some peppers.
Mm-hmm.
A little provolone, little Mancini's.
Yes.
Yeah.
It sounds very
Salonis.
Good.
We can do Salonis.
Salonis.
Salonis Italian buns, yeah.
It's
get on
very
that.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good hot sausage. Let it just simmer for hours, and then you know, you stick the fork in, and it almost just breaks apart when you just stick
yes.
it. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
It's just so good.
I like to throw a little Tabasco in the sauce, too.
That sounds good.
A little Tabasco.
Okay.
I like the spice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Made some chicken noodle soup the other day. Next week, thinking back half of the week, getting into the 60s, might make some chili.
Chili?
As Donnie Football would say, make some chili. We love you, Donnie. You're a hard worker. Can't wait to hear you on the KDKA High School Football broadcast tonight with Doran Dickerson.
Yes.
Because you guys never stop working.
Correct.
Which is outstanding.
Central Catholic, NA. It'll be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it doesn't rain. It's supposed to rain, I think, during the day.
We got Hurricane Helene.
Yeah. We don't have it.
Taking her ass up here. I think we get some remnants of Helene.
Yeah, that's great. Think about that, though. Think about, I was thinking about this earlier. You know how my mind is. There's a hurricane going on in, what, Florida?
Yeah.
And we, all the way up here.
We got to take it on the chin a little bit, yeah.
Get affected by it. Insane it is.
There was one back in the day that came through here. And Carnegie had some trouble. I remember they had a bunch of flooding and some hill slides and stuff like that. Mother Nature, she's a real bee, Doran.
Yeah. If she really wanted to, she could just take us out.
Take us out. There were 26 tornadoes in West Virginia this year.
26?
Yeah, and they got hills and mountains and things of that nature. Yeah, it's no good. It's no good. I don't really have anywhere to go with it, but it's no good.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Steelers finish you off kind of like a tornado? I don't know. Bad transition. So we had Chris Carter on in the last segment, and he talked to Najee Harris, talked to Zach Frazier. And they said they want to grind teams down. Very Dan Bylsma-esque from back in the day. We're going to grind these bleepers down, right? And it sort of hit me as we've talked about the Steelers offense over the weeks, where they were and where they are. And I don't want to get head over heels in love with this Steelers team just yet. I don't want to predict anything that I'm going to regret. And people are going to say, oh, Crowley, you did what you did with the Pirates when they were 55 and 52 and said they're going to make the playoffs and they're going to do this. They're going to win the division. But they are finishing teams off the way they want to. Last three drives of the previous game, they scored on two, touchdown field goal, and then they ran the clock out and just slammed it down their throat. Zach Frazier's killing guys. Cordero Patterson straight up the middle. Najee Harris, boom, 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 all the way down to the one-yard line. And I think they started 3-7 2 years ago, finished with a winning record. They ran the ball well down the stretch. Last season, they wound up making the playoffs at 10-7, really on the back of the running game down the stretch. They didn't have a good plan. They didn't have a good coordinator. They didn't have as much talent on the offensive line. This team, if it's simply a better version of last year's teams, should be a playoff team. If you can do what they did the last two seasons and be effective down the stretch, now you've got a coordinator who knows how to scheme it up. You've got above average quarterback play. You've got more talent on the offensive line. You've got ass kickers at the tight end position. They should be able to be a better version of these last few years. And as history's shown us, they were a play or two away from making the playoffs in Kenny's first year, and last season they did make the playoffs.
In order to play this style of football, you have to stay healthy, though. That's the only thing. Like, you have to stay healthy. And it's a physical brand of football. It's a grind. Whenever you're grinding teams down and grinding teams out, you're also grinding yourself to get that job done. And I think the Steelers have done a decent job of protecting that with the depth that they've created.
Yeah.
Especially on defense. And whether that works or not, I mean, injuries are a part of the game. We're seeing it already. And Jaylen Warren being out and Highsmith being out. If you want to play that brand of football, it just is, you just have to stay healthy. You have to. And if you do, you know, if the luck is on your side in the NFL and you do stay relatively healthy, yeah, that could work. It absolutely can work.
Well, to that point, think about the offensive line. They don't have your starting right tackle, the guy that they wanted to be playing there. They haven't had their best offensive lineman, Isaac Seumalo, all season long. And they're still averaging over 100 rushing yards per game. And it doesn't look spectacular until it needs to. Like at the end of the game last week, I feel like it finally all kind of clicked in. I'm not saying the Steelers are the 49ers. I'm not saying the Steelers are the Ravens from the last 2 years. But if you look, teams against Baltimore in previous seasons, after you'd play the Ravens, whatever the spread the next week, you wouldn't cover because you hadn't recovered.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, you played the 49ers the week after you lost. Like, almost every team lost. I think every team.
Yep.
You're a 49ers fan, Sean. Wasn't that the stat? You played the 49ers the week after you lost. Now, they would stress you schematically, too, with the Shanahan stuff. And the Steelers, they definitely don't have the top-end talent offensively. But I can see teams not wanting to play the Steelers because you know that the week after, you're licking your wounds. And it doesn't mean that the Steelers are better than every team in the league. It doesn't mean the Steelers are top five in the league. It doesn't mean they're the Bills or the Chiefs or whoever you consider to be the top contenders. But this is a team that I think you can wrap your arms around, Steelers fans, because they do the thing you love.
Mm-hmm.
They're the team. It's not like the conversation we had at the end of last year when Rudolph was the quarterback. Are the Steelers the team that nobody wants to face from like a, oh, are they going to beat me standpoint? But the Steelers are one of those teams I don't think teams want to face because you're defensively they're going to crush you. Offensively, they're not going to stop for four quarters. They're a pain in the ass, man. And I love that.
Yeah.
We've got our Behind Enemy Lines segment coming up next. That's brought to us by Galise Services and also something else that I haven't written down, but luckily I'll just read it for the people coming up next. We're joined by James Boyd. He writes for The Athletic. Before we do get to him, Adrian is the guy who said he was going to pay me $10,000 to leave Pittsburgh. He grew a set. Now he's called up. He didn't want to talk before. What's up, Adrian?
Well, I mean, this is every morning. I mean, you guys, please can we have a conversation with you guys? You guys love to cut people off quick. Every morning is just negative with you, Adam.
What are you talking about? I just talked about how the Steelers are a team nobody wants to play.
Yeah,
I predicted the Pirates to make the playoffs.
I don't care about the Pirates, and they shouldn't be who cares about them? So anyway, you guys were the same people that said George Pickens wasn't the number one receiver. I had to hear Brandon Ayuk's better than him because you guys live in fantasy football world. Ayuk is not even close to being a better wide receiver.
Where's the check, Adrian? You got your 10K or what?
Hold on, man. And that's another thing. You taking $10,000 from me, I'll give you another $5,000 if you could do that. So
I didn't say me. I said Doran.
Him too. I'm him. So anyway, the if you look at this game in a
goodbye.
He's gonna come after you.
I should have gone to the call earlier. If Adrian wants to air this all out later on in the show or next week, he knows the phone number 412-928-9370. I just don't want to leave our guy hanging. Coming up next,
right?
Mm-hmm. James Boyd,
mm-hmm.
Colts beat writer for The Athletic, gonna join us when we come back. Right now, it's a Sean Myers fan headline. Now it's time to go behind enemy lines, brought to you by Monster Brewing. And we are joined by James Boyd, covers the Colts for The Athletic. James, good morning, man. Thank you so much for jumping on with us today.
Appreciate you having me.
James, explain the Anthony Richardson experience to us. I see the completion percentage is low, but the big plays at least seem to be there. So what are you seeing out of the second-year signal caller?
I'm seeing what I expected, really. I remember talking to him at the combine and asking him, hey, people view you sort of as a project. What's your opinion on that? And he was like, I don't even know what that means. And was a little, ticked off by the question, but that's the reality of the situation. He can make – I saw a tweet the other day. He can make every single throw. He can make throws that 99% of people can't make. But he also can miss 99% of throws people can make. So it's a bit of a roller coaster. And it's a weird thing with the Colts' offense because, you know, for Pittsburgh, they could shut him down for 90% of the game, but like three plays could flip it if Anthony, you know, just, you know, finds a big play down the field or does something that's kind of spectacular. But I definitely think that he has taken a little bit of a step back from last season as far as his accuracy. His turnover, you know, being more turnover prone, things like that. And some of that I do think is coming off a major shoulder injury, but also it's just, you know, maybe we didn't see a lot of the bumps in the road last year because he didn't play long enough to have them. So exciting player. I think he'll, you know, has the potential to be a very good player. It's just that right now everyone in Indianapolis is mad that he can't make, quote unquote, the throws that high school quarterbacks can make. Although I'll push back a little. I'm like, look, I don't know if any of you guys have been watching high school sports, but these guys can't throw like that either. So we just got to see what happens.
James, what's your thoughts, evaluations, and what's Colts Nation's thoughts around Shane Steichen as head coach? I mean, last year becoming the head coach for the first time and three games into this season, what are your guys' thoughts around him as the head guy?
Yeah, I think Shane has done, you know, a solid job. The locker room players love him, and that's not just lip service. And I think that he is the guy you want to sort of build this offense around Anthony Richardson. I know that Anthony, again, has had some ups and downs, and he's going to go through some growing pains, all those things. But I don't know if they take this chance on Anthony with the number four pick last season or last year if Shane Steichen isn't the head coach that they have with him and the guy who's worked with Jalen Hurts and worked with other quarterbacks, different quarterbacks. But Jalen Hurts is the one that's most like Anthony as far as his skill set. And you obviously saw what Jalen Hurts was when the first year he was a starter. And then that last year he was with Shane Steichen, their offense, you know, took him to the Super Bowl. So I think that Shane is very well respected. We joke all the time that he doesn't sleep. He just goes in his office and just charges up. And there's carbon fiber, you know, underneath his sleeves and things like that because he's a robot. He's not one for, you know, small talk or lip service. It's funny because the Friday press conference is after you ask about injuries and who's going to be up or down or who's going to be in or out. I mean, the entire press conference might be 2 minutes, you know, if we don't ask him anything else, because he's not going to go out of his way. Not in a mean way. He just doesn't care. I mean, you can talk to the guy. I remember last year I talked to him for 5 minutes about how to throw a challenge flag and, you know, how to properly do it. And then if you ask him anything outside of football, he's like, I don't know what language that is. So he's a good dude. He can be boring to some people, but I do think he's a very creative mind offensively and someone who doesn't BS the players, got a lot of respect for the players. And, you know, it's still growing into his own as well.
I see time of possession for the Colts just far and away the worst in the NFL, and I'm sure it's a little column A, a little column B, but you put it more on the offense, or is it more on the defense not being able to get off the field?
That's a good question. I think it's a little bit both, but I do think that the offense has been struggling, because we were talking to Gus Bradley, the Colts' defensive coordinator, the other day, and he was saying, you know, through three games, the amount of snaps that they played on defense is kind of like being through four games already. Yeah. Because they haven't been able to get off the field on defense. But also, the offense has been in this weird spot, because even when they've had successful drives, especially in that first game against Houston, the drives were so short because Anthony threw it, you know, twice and they were in the end zone. So it's funny when we talk about time of possession, it's like they want to have better time of possession. Dude, they do have to, you know, again, Anthony has to make some of these easier throws so they can stay on the field on third downs and things like that. But then also, they preach explosive plays so much that sometimes – when they do have a successful drive, it could be three or four plays and they're off the field because he took them down there that soon. And so there's a little bit of balance there. And obviously, if you're scoring points, it's a little bit easier for the defense to, you know, react to that. It's just when they're having the explosive plays and then, like last week, they get all the way down there and Anthony throws a pick in the end zone. And it's like, all right, we didn't get any rest as a defense and we didn't get any points as an offense. So a little bit of both for sure. I think the defense bounced back against Chicago, but to be fair, Chicago's offense, you know, obviously isn't some, you know, blazing unit. They're kind of struggling, and credit to the Colts for not, you know, laying down to them, but you got to prove it again this week.
James, I know that you pay attention to every single Colts opponent, and you probably watch NFL as a whole with your job. You kind of have to. What are your thoughts on what Justin Fields has been doing for the Steelers this year?
I think it's solid. I definitely think it's funny when you're a quarterback because – you get all the blame when you lose, and you get like, and then you win. And it's like everything is great because of you. And I'm like, wait a second. He's on a team where their defense isn't giving up hardly any points. I'm like, you're playing like they're back in like the olden days with some of these numbers I'm seeing. And so I think he's done a solid job not turning the ball over, keeping drives alive, and then just playing safe football. And so I know people can have opinions and compare him to Caleb Williams or him to somebody else. And it's like, look, man. Every situation is a little bit different, but I definitely think that, you know, it's cool to see him. Being from myself personally, from the Chicago area, it is kind of cool to see him have some success and go out there and kind of have, you know, have fun with the game again. Because I think it's hard, obviously, you're going through things, you get recognized, you're losing, and you're not who one franchise wanted you to be. So he's in a situation where, obviously, he's been able to get in there, have some fun, have some success, and then lean on a really, really great defense that, you know, is just incredible to me. I was looking at some of the numbers, and it's like the Steelers have scored three offensive touchdowns as a team, but they've only given up two. And I'm like, you know, if the math was working correctly, that's how you win. It might not be pretty, but a win is a win.
James, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll cross paths again at some point soon.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. We'll see what happens Sunday, and if Colts fans can relax a little bit, I don't know.
Thank you, James.
Thanks,
see
James.
You at the game.
All right, have a good one.
I like saying that to guys.
See you at the game.
See you at the game, even though I'm not going to be there.
You never go.
No. I might certainly not go to Indy, although I love the town. Slippery Noodle. Yeah. Steelers fans, if you're leaving after work today going out to Indy, hit up Slippery Noodle. Not what it sounds like. Not a strip club. Blues Bar. Good food. Kind of a little hole in the wall. Mm-hmm. Awesome spot.
Yeah.
Awesome spot.
I was there. The Combine. We stayed in a train.
Stayed in a train? Like a hobo?
Yeah, it was like a train, old train station that they turned into a hotel.
Oh, okay. Train station.
Yes.
Not a train.
Well, it was like trains. It was like you were in a train.
Mm.
It was like the train, but they turned them into hotel rooms.
I bet you that's where Justin Fields is staying. You know why?
I don't know if I want to know why.
He likes to jump on a moving train.
Mm.
Dorn.
Mm. Okay.
You like that one?
Yes.
Our football segment where we look around the league is coming up next, brought to you by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. Real quick, just hearing the perspective of somebody who's watched every pass that Anthony Richardson has thrown, I didn't think going in last week the Steelers had a quarterback advantage. I thought they did, obviously, week number two. Week one, I didn't. This one I feel pretty good about. Like, Justin Fields, if you protect the football, the other guy's not going to.
Right.
He's not. And I watched back the Chicago Bears game, some of these passes, like, I think if he put them where he wanted to put them, they would get picked off. Like, there were a couple that missed so bad, like, that no one could catch. I think he might wind up being a really good quarterback. I think he is obviously a matchup problem, Anthony Richardson is. He's not anywhere near a finished product. And we know how Mike Tomlin wins against rookies. He's not a rookie. He's kind of a rookie. He didn't play very much at all last year. All right, football segment next right now. It's a Sean Myers headline. Oh, this is that goofy football music that Callis found.
Yeah, I never heard this.
That's from NFL Films. This sounds like, I'm trying to think of what team, maybe Air Coryell throwing it all over the yard kind of deal. You like that?
What was that again?
Air Coryell.
What was that?
Don Coryell. Chargers.
Oh.
Slinging that rock.
This is definitely Fran Tarkington.
I was just about to say that.
The mobile QB.
Minnesota. I was just about to say Fran Tarkington. Good. See, Sean. I get you. Even though you went to Penn State, I still like you.
I don't. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Route 19 of Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Going to play a clip that makes me think the Browns are just circling the toilet drain. But speaking of toilet drain, Southside Jake brought us pizza. Breakfast pizza. From Southside Plumbing and Heating, and we love Southside Jake, and thank you, Southside Jake, who is now watching the show from in studio.
Not only does Southside Plumbing and Heating come through whenever you need service at your house, but Jake comes through whenever we're hungry in the morning on a nice, dreary Friday. It's fantastic. He's the man.
I didn't know that I needed breakfast pizza in my life.
Me neither.
And now I ain't ever going back.
It's so good.
It's like the first time I heard the Beatles.
I am honestly surprised that Jake, you know, took it upon himself to surprise us with breakfast after we've been whooping his ass.
Whooping it.
Week in and week out on our weekly segment on Tuesdays where we do trivia.
Are you smarter than a plumber? I don't think Amari Cooper is.
Some of y'all don't ask the best questions, but hey, you don't hear me criticizing. So, yeah, I think it's just the nature of the business. I mean, obviously we get scrutinized more than you guys do. So, I mean, I think maybe, you know, maybe y'all should start asking questions in front of the camera so they can see y'all's faces. But, yeah, I just think that's just how it goes. You know, they see everything we do. We're under a microscope, so we're going to get scrutinized more and for mistakes that everybody makes.
Amari Cooper never says anything.
No.
Ever. Quiet guy. Great player. Quiet guy. He's played for some bad organizations. He's playing for a bad one right now. Look, if you want to attack the media, attack the media away, man. Hey, if you're 3-0 and you want to crap on the media, go ahead. 1-2, bad look. Like, you got to look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, they're pointing fingers every which way.
Well, I mean, doesn't he? He's probably frustrated. He has to answer for so many things that everybody else, not that he's, you know, he usually does what he needs to do.
Yes.
And like you said, he plays for a crappy organization. I mean, think about being as talented as he is and having to play for the Raiders and the Browns and still putting up numbers and still making a lot of money and still being regarded as a top 10 receiver. Like, he's probably fed up with, you know, hearing about Deshaun Watson, have to answer about him, have to answer about certain plays. Like, he's probably fed up.
You know what's going to happen? Amari Cooper's not going to be a Brown after this year. Kevin Stefanski, who was coach of the year last year, I bet you he gets his ass fired. You might see the general manager go, you know why? You know whose fault the Deshaun Watson thing was? None of theirs. They didn't want this guy. The ownership wanted this guy. And they have absolutely railroaded any chance of anything great. If they had Baker Mayfield right now at quarterback, they'd be a division champion caliber football team. The offensive line's banged up. I understand that. But Deshaun Watson is horrendous. Deshaun Watson doesn't convert a fourth down running in the previous game. He gets asked, hey, why didn't you throw it to the wide open guy in the flat? And he says, well, he's a decoy. This is a man who has taken accountability for nothing in his entire life, so why would football be any different? What I'm saying here is, when guys like Amari Cooper are lashing out, the days are numbered for pretty much everyone. They're winning like 6 games this year.
You're absolutely right.
You hate to see it. We'll go around the league and look at some of the other games with Lee Sterling coming up next. The Ravens got the big one against the juggernaut Buffalo Bills. What does Lee think is going to happen in that game? How's he think Steelers and Colts will play out? We'll talk to Lee when we come back. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Rain scattered throughout the day. High 75.